Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
High fly ball right center field. That's high and deep. On the run, Pilar racing for the wall, and that's out of here. A home run for Jackie Bradley. A two-run shot, and the Red Sox open it up here in the 10th.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
1-0 for Bobby Lyon. Line to left field, and that does get down. Delmonico loads up the throw. It's going to be late, and the Yankees take the lead. Andujar drives in Gregorius.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
This ball is hammered to center. Gone! Adrian Beltre of his good buddy Felix Hernandez.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Let's do this. Welcome in, Dirt and Sprague. Happy Wednesday to you here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope you're beating the heat. It was hot yesterday. It was brutal. Yeah. We had a softball game last night. It was nuts. Humidity was out. I felt like I was playing in Atlanta.
Well, better last night than the next couple of nights. We're supposed to push triple digits here the next couple of days.
That's going to be brutal. Yeah, we lost our softball game last night. We had to go tie one off after the game. A little disappointed. Booted the ball around a little bit. Couldn't find any hits to drop. It was a rough one. Rough one for the Intercom softball team.
Just like the Mariners.
That's right. We picked up where they left off. I will tell you, though, what is this has engulfed the entire office now, and I even got the boss roped into this.
Except for me.
Except for you.
I refuse to partake.
Nah, see, you don't know what you're missing out here, Swagger. This is grade A entertainment, okay? So we talked about this a couple of weeks back, if you forgot it or just didn't
this
keep...
This is the second year
in a row they've done this.
ESPN has done this.
ESPN, too, has turned into the Ocho for the day. And I believe it started last night at midnight, somewhere in that range.
Right at 12 bells.
And I think they started with the dodgeball movie, and then they went into obscure sporting events. Cornhole, darts, you know, something called like the Fenway Games. It's all sorts of random stuff. Half of it, we don't even know what it is. And this has roped the entire office in. We were talking to Gary in sales earlier. He said he was watching it last night. He couldn't fall asleep. He watched it for like an hour, just laying in bed. We turned it on before the show started, and it was a sport, if you want to call it that, entitled Saber Legend. And it was guys who thought they were in Star Wars fighting with fake lightsabers.
Sci-fi LARPing is what's going on.
It was sci-fi LARPing. I couldn't believe it. This is on ESPN2 today. And you brought up a really good point. Just to point out where we're at in sports right now, this stuff's on ESPN, and the Mariners are only on Facebook today.
Exactly.
Sums up 2018 for you. Now, I'm telling you, if you're looking for entertainment, this is the stuff. So right now, we've already moved on. Now, the Saber Legion is done. The guys were into it. The mid-round interviews were just grade-A entertainment. And now we are on to sumo wrestling on the Ocho. And I am going to be roped into this all day. Roller derby's coming up. We have some chess boxing coming up at 2 o'clock, I believe. So that'll be the final hour of the show.
That's the one I'm curious about.
You want to watch chess boxing?
That I'm curious just... what exactly that looks like.
Moxie games at 3, if you're wondering what those are. No. It's unusual competitive sports, including juggling and trick pool shots.
I've seen trick pool shots before.
It's like, you ever see those LARPers at the park? Like you walk by and they're into it and they got the costumes on.
I wish for Darwinian intervention.
They're swinging their swords and stuff. It's one of those things when you see that, you can't really look away. At first, you're like, "What? Whoa, what's going on here?" You got to kind of investigate it for a few minutes just to try and wrap your brain around that the people are out here in the park on a Saturday doing that. That's the way I was with Saber Legion today, and that's the way almost everybody was in the office, because people will walk by the cubicle, and they'll give a glance, kind of a peek in, just see what's going on with everybody before the show starts. And we piled them up like five or six deep in that cubicle watching Sabre Legion because people would walk by, see it on the TV. They couldn't look away.
Well, I'm watching something nearly as rare. The Mets are shutting out an opponent. So it's 7-0 in the bottom of the eighth.
Oh, I'm into it. I'm into the Ocho. I want to try out for one of these sports next year. I'm going to go get my saber out. I'm going to get into this thing.
You got the full Darth Vader costume, or are you going Luke Skywalker?
You know, wear a cape. Guy's got a cape.
Or you want to go Han? You want to be the...
Yeah, you got to go Han. Kind of go more casual look a little bit. Just get a cool vest going.
Get that blaster riding low on the hip.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, kind of
more mid-thigh than on the hip.
Down towards the knee. Yeah, this is... by the way, the Mariners are losing again. They are on Facebook, but they are losing again. 2-1 is your score. So there's your update for Mariner fans right now.
They did not lose any ground last night because...
They didn't, no, because your Dodgers took care of the
Dodgers took care of business, although they almost left Rich Hill in a bit too long.
I'm sorry, folks. This is going to distract me all afternoon. World Sumo Challenge is starting. Bout number 18. Yeah. Let's go. We got Kaleo versus some dude I can't pronounce. 257 versus 325. That's quite the weight discrepancy.
What is that, like middleweight for sumos?
I think this has got to be middleweight. You know, you're not quite the 350 bills. That's got to be full boat.
The heavyweight, aren't those guys like 500?
Are they that big? Really?
They're pretty ginormous in the super heavyweight or whatever they call that.
We're looking like offensive guards here, just to give you a comparison. Yeah. You know, not quite a fat center. You know,
the super sumos are hefty, hefty, hefty.
These guys are getting after it.
We actually have a fairly sportsy show.
We do. No,
there's a lot of stuff that's happened today.
There's a lot of stuff to get to. These guys are wearing diapers. I'm distracted. Let's get to it. What's on tap? No more distractions.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on tap? Brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We do have a lot to get to today. Mariners lost again last night. Felix Hernandez. We've talked a lot about just kind of what should they do with him. But I'm curious, where does his career go from here? Because that one was tough. He had the funny moment early on where he struck out Adrian Beltre and he kind of laughed at him. And it was a cool moment between a couple of guys who've been around a long time. And then it just unraveled on him. So where does it go from here for Felix? We got NBA schedule release coming out. We got a few games have been released. We know some Blazer tidbits. They're playing Christmas Day. They're playing against the Lakers on opening night. And I have made a bet about opening night, and I wonder if people think I'm crazy for it.
I don't.
You think you like that bet?
Yes.
Okay. We'll get to that. I mean, new rules in the NCAA. This is a big deal for college athletics, college basketball in particular. Talk about those. We got some fun with audio. Darren Ravel apparently is into acting, and we'll play the audio for you. If you didn't see that yesterday, I quite enjoyed it. Mike Barrett did a Q&A for the Portland Diamond Project, and I thought he had some interesting stuff on that, and I want to bring it to you. Just any reason to talk Major League Baseball to Portland, I find that opportunity, and I take advantage of it. So we'll do that. We got Statter Story this afternoon. Changes coming to the Oscars. Is that going to get you to watch? We'll talk some Oscars. And the Red Sox going for the record. Can they beat the Mariners' number? It's incredible what they're doing this year. So lots to get to on the show today. It is going to be a good one. And some NFL training camp updates. As tomorrow is the first big preseason day for everybody. A lot of those marquee games. Seahawks will be right here on The Fan. They play their first preseason game tomorrow. That's what I'm excited for. You get home, kind of flip around a little bit. I think they do an NFL red zone thing during the preseason, if I'm not mistaken. So you can kind of turn it on and check it out. See what all the rookie quarterbacks are doing, that kind of stuff. So we'll talk some NFL training camp updates. Take around, look in different cities, different teams, what's going on with injuries and concerns as teams are getting ready for the season. To get there, that's What's on Tap. It's brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. I do want to start today with what happened last night. So I got home from softball. We got blown out. Not a good softball night for us. Went and got a couple of beers at Ex Novo across the street after the game. And then we got home, watched Hard Knocks, and I was fired up for this thing. I was roped in because it's the Cleveland Browns, and they had some dirty teases about how entertaining it was going to be, what was going to be on the show. So I was fired up to watch it. And I'm curious if you tuned it in last night to Hard Knocks, what did you make of it and just what's going on with the Browns? What were your thoughts on Baker Mayfield? Hugh Jackson, because I thought there were a couple of takeaways. I am on the Browns bandwagon. There were some takeaways that were really concerning, and I might be off the bandwagon before the first preseason game even starts. So that's where I want to start the show today. Some Hard Knocks. Also, Jarvis Landry went on a rant that people are saying is one of the best in the history of Hard Knocks. If you didn't hear it, you'll hear it on the other side. That's where we'll start off and running on a Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam. Hey, welcome back in. 12:16. Talk some NFL training camps coming up at 12:30. Felix Hernandez as well here in the first hour of the show. Mariners just gave up a couple more runs. That's a 5-1 game now in the bottom of the third. Joey Gallo hit a home run, so not going good right now for the Mariners on the road closing out that series against the Rangers. We do also have a correction from the NCAA. In typical NCAA fashion, they released this new rule today, and they've already had to amend it a little bit and say, well, not quite, not quite. So we'll tell you what the rule is and what they had to amend a little bit. We'll do that coming up in the second hour of the show. But Hard Knocks was last night. Debut of Hard Knocks. I was fired up to watch it, and it was a really good episode. I'll say that. I think they kind of ripped the heart out of Cleveland a little bit just in that opening. Did you see the opening scene?
No, I was still watching the Dodger game. Okay. So I actually flipped over to it right in the middle of Jarvis Landry's speech.
Which is a good time to flip over, because that was, we'll get to that speech in a moment. So the opening scene was them tearing down the LeBron mural on the side of the building. And then it was Hugh Jackson. Remember, he had to go jump in Lake Erie.
Yes.
Because they went winless. And he said, hey, if next year, if we're worse than we were this past year, I'll go jump in the lake. And so it was this like cleansing of a new start, fresh start. LeBron's gone. So it was kind of a tough one, I think, for Cleveland fans to go through a little bit. But all in all, it was a really good episode. Interesting to see the behind the scenes of Baker Mayfield getting his contract done. And John Dorsey, the GM of the Browns, I thought was a pretty good character. And he'll be one that's fun to watch as this season goes on. But there were a few concerns that came out of it, and I'll get to those in a moment. But Jarvis Landry, who, of course, came over from Miami, and after watching that episode last night, like, he led the NFL in catches last year, and Jay Cutler was his quarterback, which I think says a lot about the player that he is. I don't know if people realize how good he is because he played for the Dolphins and he's had Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler throwing him footballs. That's one of those guys you just think, man, put him in a Saints offense or New England or insert any good offense out there. Man, he's putting up even bigger numbers. But he made some crazy plays. He also had the rant of the night. Now, there's a lot of bleeps in this. It's about a minute long. And this is Jarvis Landry. He got up in the middle of one of their wide receiver meetings and was not happy.
I don't know what the f*** been going on here, and I don't know why it's been going on here, but this, if you're not hurt, like if your hamstring ain't falling off the f***ing bone, your leg ain't broke, I don't know, like, you should be f***ing practicing. Like, straight up. Like, that s*** is weakness, and that s*** is contagious as f***. And that s*** ain't gonna be in this room, bruh. That it's been here in the past, and that's why the past has been like it is, bruh. That shit is over with here, bruh. If you can f***ing practice, f***ing practice. You can't get no better. Ain't nobody gonna get better by being on the f***ing sideline if you ain't f***ing hurt. If you're not f***ing hurt, you gotta f***ing practice. Because you make other motherfuckers work even f***ing harder. Now they had more f***ing risk of getting hurt because you don't want f***ing practice. Because you're being a straight up, man. That shit is f***ing real, bruh. Ain't happening here. I'm just letting y'all know that shit is not f***ing happening here. I'm hurting, I'm tired just like every f***ing body in this motherfucker. But I ain't taking no motherfucking days off because I can't be f***ing great that way. That gotta be the f***ing attitude and the mentality all the f***ing time. All that weak shit, don't f***ing live here no more. That shit don't exist. It's contagious, bro. Like, it's really f***ing contagious. It's contagious.
So first off, hat tip to Buck for was he the one that went through?
It was intern Christian this morning that got it all.
Well done. That's a minute and 20 rant. That was a lot of bleeps in that thing. A takeaway from that, I want to play with Jarvis Landry. That I love that speech because you think about the locker room culture in Cleveland and how bad it's been, and here he is. He signs his big deal. He comes over to the Browns and he's looking at what's going on a week into training camp, and he's like, what are we doing here? Why are guys sitting out of practice? And that was actually kind of the theme of the episode. So if you watch towards the end, I was blown away that this made it through the cutting room and they didn't edit this out. But there was a coaches meeting towards the end of the show.
Yes, that I saw.
Like, this blew me away. So they're all the coaches are sitting down, and one of the VP of players, you know, some guy sits to start the meeting and says, here are the guys that will not be practicing.
Yeah, he's like the head medical guy or something.
So he's like, this guy's out,
head
this
trainer
guy's out.
Or whatever.
We got to cross this guy off the list. He needs a day off, and he goes through all these names, and then Hugh says, okay, anything else? And those guys get up and leave the room, and they're sitting there with the coaches. And the running backs coach, like, raises his hands like, hey, I got a bit of an issue here. And he basically says, you know, it's really important to have guys out there practicing, not giving them days off, like at least just have them in helmets and stuff. They don't have to go through the full thing. Just have them out there for practice. And Jackson basically said, no, they're not soft. We're not treating them with gloves. We're just concerned about injuries and we don't want certain guys out there. And then Todd Haley, who is the new offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
of the Browns.
Todd Haley and Greg Williams are the coordinators.
This is going to be so fun to watch. Those two guys going at it. Are you kidding me? So Todd Haley jumps in and he said, quote, I have an opinion on it. We need to get so much done, you know. And I said that to you. We joke about it, but we live in our fears. I mean, our team has to get mentally tougher and be able to fight through the bleep that we've got to fight through. We got to change this drastically, and we have to have guys, and we have guys that haven't done bleep around doing nothing. You know, I just don't know how we're going to do it. And Hugh Jackson shot him down. He ended up with a line basically saying, this is my team. I'll do whatever the hell I want. He said, I drive the bus. I've sat in your seat before. I'm in this seat now. He said, I appreciate your feedback, but I don't really care what you have to say. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And this is going to be kind of the butting ahead. Like, and that's the part of it. I was shocked that it just made it, because the Browns don't have control over everything that, you know, they don't have editorial control over the show. But from my understanding, the way that it works is they get kind of a screening ahead of time of like, this is what we're going to air in the first episode. And they have the choice to say, you know, no, we don't want that in, or hey, maybe you should change that, or can we take that scene out? And they got enough footage to replace stuff. And they didn't do that with this. And to show that kind of back and forth, you know what goes on in a lot of NFL locker rooms, but just particularly one in Cleveland where you on the heels of Jarvis Landry going on this epic minute 20 rant about how guys are soft and they're sitting out of practice and nobody's trying to get better, and you already have this same 0-16 mentality sinking in, and then you have that happen in the coaches meeting, and you know that, I mean, Todd Haley knows there's cameras in there. Like, he knows that's something that's going to be picked up, and that was a big takeaway. A little concerned about my Cleveland Browns, not going to lie. Not a very encouraging opening episode in that regard. The other thoughts I had from it were twofold. One, Hugh Jackson at some point is going to, like, something's going to bust there. If you watched last night, he lost his brother and his mom in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And he, like, when he, the day he found out his mom passed away, and it sounded like it was expected, she was sick, but he got the call and he's crying. And then there's a coaches meeting that same day, and he's sitting in there watching film. And he, like, weaves it in and out of the conversation like it was no big deal. And they're watching film. He said, yeah, by the way, my mom passed away today. And all the coaches turn around and say, sorry, I can't believe that happened. And then he said, yeah, and then he just keeps going. You know, here's the zone read. Here's what we're going to want to do, and watch the defensive end. And it was like he didn't even bat an eye. And at one point in the episode, the coaches had to kind of, the GM and a couple of the other guys went into his office and, like, locked the door and forced him to just sit there. And he finally started crying and kind of opening up. I can't imagine how tough that is. And we all go through that, where you have something going on in your personal life and you got to try and put it behind you and get through the day at work and do your best at your job, and then you go back to whatever it is you're dealing with once your job is over. So I can relate to it in that regard, but that was an unhealthy way, I would say, to do it, of to not even acknowledge what was going on, have other people force you to acknowledge it, and then you kind of break down. That concerned me a little bit about Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, and the dynamic with Haley and Williams, who are two of the biggest red asses going in NFL coaching ranks, I will see if they, you know, yep, trip out of the gates and don't find a win there in the first couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. You just wonder if he's going to implode.
Yeah. At some point, right? I mean, 1-31, yeah, at some point, this, you got to get off to a good start there. If you're Cleveland with those coordinators around you. I'm with you on that. I don't know if concerned is the right word, but what did you make of Baker Mayfield? I know you missed the start of it.
I missed the start of it. I saw they made him you know, talk about it, sing and give his signing bonus, typical rookie day stuff. He was not wanting to disclose that for obvious reasons.
Right, right.
Yeah, the RV thing. So the other rookie, the fourth string guy, him putting out the snacks or whatever.
Which, by the way, his name is Brogan?
Yeah.
Brogan.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic name. His name, and he looks like the blonde guy from Super Troopers, whatever that with the buck teeth. Like, he just looks the broiest bro of all time, and his name is Brogan. I love that last night.
So, but we'll see, because when he got, you know, when he was away, when they were in meeting rooms or he was just wandering around or whatever, I was like, oh, he could get really annoying. But then when he was in the huddle, or he was getting guys, when it was his turn to go out there and run the offense, he wasn't messing around. He's putting guys in position. We got to run this faster. We got to get set up faster. So I think ultimately he could be good. The question will be, can he find a way to relate to all of his teammates that doesn't annoy the crap out of him?
Yeah, and that's going to be tough. I think for a personality
first impressions
like
are going to be, could go rocky for him.
Right. Well, and you also had, I think, in the same episode, it was interesting to see the behind the scenes of Tyrod Taylor, a guy who's been around a while and been a starter in the league and kind of cast off in Buffalo.
He's pretty low-key and laid back.
He's low-key and laid back, but he's also somebody that you get the sense is really respected by his teammates. And he was a guy, like, his work ethic was one that everybody kind of raved about. And that was the moment with Jackson and Mayfield I thought stood out a little bit to me, too, was Jackson went up to him on the practice field and he questioned why he wasn't working out with Tyrod Taylor. Because Tyrod Taylor, he apparently shows up at like 5 a.m. every morning, gets a big workout in. He's like the first guy in, the last guy out, and he's the epitome of that guy, Tyrod Taylor is. And Hugh Jackson asked Mayfield at one point, like, hey, what time did you get up this morning? And Mayfield's like, well, a little bit later than yesterday. And he said, how about we get you in here with Tyrod? So he's trying to pull that string. So I took away, I mean, this seems like it's Tyrod Taylor's job. Who knows how long that's going to last, depending on how their season goes. But I would be surprised if we saw Baker Mayfield play early in the year. That's my hot take from one episode of Hard Knocks. But all in all, it was fun, man. If you didn't see it, I highly suggest it on HBO. Go back and watch the start of it too, Swaggart. It's a good episode last night. Next one will be next week. Love Hard Knocks, and last night was the debut. We'll get to some NFL training camp storylines coming up at 12:45, though. But we do have a bit of news on an interesting story from up in Seattle I want to get to, of a player who decommitted from Washington and has now found a new home. Also, the SI Top 25 College Football poll is out, and it's a reason to talk college football. We'll do those next.
Oh, somebody's excited.
First, here's Swag with SportsCenter. He's come to know. He said he's going back. Hey, we'll head around to a couple of NFL training camps coming up in 10 minutes. Got the SI Top 25 College Football poll we'll get to here in a moment. I don't know how closely you followed this story, Swag. This is kind of an interesting one. I know Husky fans not happy about this, but I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. Ali Cahoe? I hope. Sounds about right. He was the number one rated inside linebacker in the class of 2018, according to 24/7 Sports. Five-star linebacker. He's from Nevada. And he had committed to Washington, and he was supposed to be, he's a freshman this year, so he's going to play this year. And he was the highest rated recruit to ever commit to Washington under Chris Peterson. And it was a real big deal for the Huskies to get him because he was for a long time committed to BYU during the recruiting process. He's from Nevada, but he flipped his commitment kind of at the last minute and signed with the Huskies. And it was a big coup to get him. People up there were pumped about it. Big time recruit, 6'1", 220 pound linebacker, and everybody for Washington was excited. But he apparently arrived in Seattle this summer, but he never enrolled, and he was wrapping up some coursework. Chris Peterson cited personal reasons for his release of the program, because just about a week or two ago, He requested to get out of his letter of intent. He wanted out, and Washington granted him his release. And the rumor was he had wanted to go closer to home. He was dealing with personal stuff, and he wanted to move back closer to his situation. That's not the case. It was announced today he has committed to Alabama. So people are scratching their head up. They're wondering, you know, what's going on? Why did he, at the last minute, balk at the idea of going to Washington when he'd been up there this summer? then the rumor that he wanted to go closer to home, and that's what he was telling people. He wanted to be closer to Nevada, and then he ends up going to Alabama. That's one that's going to leave people scratching their heads, but not a great way to start the year for Washington. The recruiting class is still extremely strong, but when you lose a kid of that caliber, it's always going to hurt you a little bit. And so he's going to be going to Alabama. Just thought I'd point that one out for Husky fans. We do have the Sports Illustrated Top 25 preseason poll out. Whenever one of these comes out, I get fired up just looking at it, talking college football. And I like this one. Who knows if it's accurate or not, but it's slightly different than some of the other polls that we've seen.
Sports Illustrated, more known over the years for going out on limbs.
Is the curse thing still a deal? Like, remember when Oregon State was number one and all that? Is that still a thing for Sports Illustrated?
I don't think it's been that big a deal.
Okay. People just haven't bought into it as much.
No.
Well, their cover issue was, it's a Wisconsin feature about their offensive line. If you haven't seen the cover of it, it's their five offensive linemen. Yes. They're all behemoths. And the top five for Sports Illustrated reads like this: not Alabama at number one, Clemson number one, Alabama number two, Wisconsin number three, Washington comes in at number four, and then Oklahoma number five.
I'm guessing they're predicting what the college football playoff committee will rank them based on their final. I think they're projecting their final records. Mm. And they're thinking the harder side of the Big Ten is going to get beat up, and Wisconsin will skate through and upset somebody in the Big Ten championship game, is what it sounds like.
Well, and Clemson's schedule a little bit easier. Washington, it seems like they're thinking, can make the college football playoff. I do, because I looked this up when we talked about Wisconsin last week, and I want to bring up their schedule again. They have to go to Michigan. I know that. They're at Michigan. They have to go to Northwestern. They have to go to Penn State. So they miss Ohio State this year, obviously. That's the other side of the division. And they get Nebraska at home. So the schedule is manageable. In non-conference, they play Western Kentucky, New Mexico, and BYU. So for Wisconsin, the schedule is pretty easy. You just got the two tough ones at Michigan and at Penn State that you have to get through. And that's a program that's got a lot of hype this year. And they're talented all over the field. I just still have questions about their quarterback position. I don't like Hornibrook to win you a big game. That's the tough part, especially at Michigan or at Penn State. The rest of the top 10 for SI is Oklahoma number five, Georgia number six, Penn State comes in at number seven, Auburn number eight, Ohio State number nine. It's a lot lower than we've seen of in other publications. I wonder if that has to do with the Urban Meyer situation. Then they have West Virginia at number 10. There are a couple other Pac-12 schools that show up in the rankings. Surprisingly, though, Stanford is number 12. And then the next one, the only other Pac-12 team ranked is Arizona at number 19.
Predicting an upset in the Pac-12 South over USC.
No USC down there. Utah is a team that some people have wondered, why haven't they been ranked? Oregon is a team that some people have wondered. So no USC, Utah, Oregon. They go Arizona, and not just in the poll. They're number 9, inside the 20s. So a lot of respect being shown to Khalil Tate. And that really is, I think when you look at the South this year, that's the biggest wild card, is Khalil Tate. And if he can duplicate what he did last year and they can just get a decent amount of help on defense, because their defense was awful last year.
Yeah, it was a sieve.
It just was terrible. And if they could get just a decent amount of defense down there and you pair that with what Khalil Tate can do, I think there's only one or two games that he got bottled. I know the Oregon game, he didn't do much, and the Ducks beat him pretty good. And I want to say they struggled in the rivalry game with Arizona State. So he got bottled up a little bit in those two. But outside of that, I mean, he was a touchdown machine for them. So they're banking on Khalil Tate having a big year this year.
Well, it'll certainly keep things interesting in the Pac-12.
I'm a fan of this poll. Clemson number one, Alabama two, Wisconsin three, Washington four, Oklahoma five. I like that. Washington's where they should be. Wisconsin, the hype train. They got talent, as I mentioned, is not a quarterback. Oklahoma, still the questions about what can they do without Baker Mayfield. Georgia, with what they're returning, I get that being ranked number six. So the SI Top 25 poll is out today. The rest of the teams, if you're wondering, other squads that showed up in it, Michigan State is number 11. You got Miami in there, TCU 14, Michigan 15, Notre Dame is 16, Central Florida, Houston, Mississippi State, Texas, LSU. And I did enjoy this one, and I actually saw this via Lane Kiffin, because his team made the top 25.
Exciting times.
FAU came in at number 25 on their poll. And that's a game to remember early on in the year. They play, I think it's the opening weekend of the season, they play at Oklahoma. And then Oklahoma the next week hosts Chip Kelly and UCLA. That's, I mean, Oklahoma will probably win both of those games. FAU and UCLA shouldn't be able to hang with them. Just from a storyline standpoint, you get a chance to see Lane Kiffin go to Norman and then Chip Kelly go to Norman. Sign me up. That's a good start to the season right there. So SI's top 25 poll is out, and Washington loses a five-star recruit. That one caught me off guard a little bit. Five-star recruit said he wanted to go closer to home, and he announces he's going to go to Alabama. By the way, something to keep in mind, too, with that kid going to Alabama, Tosh Lapoy, remember when he was up in Seattle? He was their big-time recruiter. And then the NCAA and was investigating him for some stuff of fudging, you know, SAT. It was something weird like that. Something with SAT scores. He's now at Alabama, and people are connecting that he was the kind of the main recruiter of him. He was granted his release on Monday and Wednesday, heading to Alabama. So tough one for Husky fans. There you go. Some college football talk, top 25 and recruiting news. Let's take a look at a couple of NFL training camp storylines. As Doug Baldwin said something about Russell Wilson, I want to get to. Should get Seattle fans excited a little bit for this year. We already played it, but I want to get to it again. Aaron Rodgers, critical of his wide receivers. Derek Carr is thankful for something. Carson Wentz on his injury status. Andrew Luck talks about the same thing. We'll whip around some NFL training camps as tomorrow as the official kickoff of preseason. A lot of games going on tomorrow night. We'll take it to camps. We'll do it next on The Fam. Yeah, indeed I did. Yeah, tough softball loss. Yeah, you got to drown the sorrows a little bit. Still got some sumo wrestling going on here. The Ocho Day on ESPN2 all afternoon. You get around a TV, dive in, man. This is good stuff.
Now we got Phillies and Diamondbacks just underway.
We've got a couple of big boys going at it here. Come on.
Under the roof at Chase Field.
This is Pennant Chase sumo right here. One dude's like four times the size of the other guy. We got some mixed classes going on. I'm on board. I did want to read a thought here. You know, that recruit story is a really weird one. Of a kid who flips, goes to Washington, then says, you know, I want to be closer to home. I want out. And I will say this. People know how I feel about the Washington Huskies. I've made my thoughts very clear on this show over a number of years. They handled it perfect. I mean, not only Chris Peterson, but the fans as well, because that's a tough one. I mean, when you lose a kid that's a big-time recruit and he all of a sudden says, I don't want to be here anymore, that's easy to kind of have the ugly side of a fan base come out and take shots at a kid or tweet mean things to him. And I didn't see any of that. Peterson handled it the right way, and the Washington fans, from what I saw, handled it the right way because it was a kid that reportedly was going through some tough stuff, and they just, hey, we're hoping for the best for you. And they did the right thing there, and I think that's the stabbing in the back. We did have Nick. He's a P1. He's a Husky fan. He chimed in. He said, being completely honest, Turdy had been dealing with a lot of drama at home, family drama, loss, wanted to be closer. Fans online were surprisingly supportive. I was proud of that. Coach Pete released him from his letter of intent without trying to restrict him like most coaches would. Then he immediately commits to Alabama. I don't wish the kid ill. Nobody should, but what the hell? Obviously, we were fed some BS, and where did it go? And it smells a little fishy. That's where it's, yeah. Smells a little fishy on that one. Kid wants to go closer to home, and you go to Alabama a couple of days later. A lot of people aren't buying that. So tough one for the Huskies. Let's get to some NFL training camp notes as tomorrow. Have we seen the TV schedule, by the way? Do we know? Because I think they do a red zone thing, right, for preseason games?
They might. The two.
I'm assuming the Seahawks game will be on here, probably on Fox.
Should
on
be on
TV.
Fox. Well, you can listen we'll to it right here on 1080 The Fan. Don't need to go anywhere. Pre-game starts at 5.
Turn that radio on, baby.
Isaac and Suk will be jacked for the Thursday show.
Yeah, this is BS, man. They need to play more noon Tuesday games. Come on, Seahawks. Fix the schedule a little bit. Can I get a day off here?
But I believe the two live games on the NFL Network will be the Giants and Browns at 4. Followed by the Cowboys and 49ers at 7.
That's right, Cowboys and Niners, yeah.
So those will be your two live games. And then NFL Network then starting at 11 or whatever, they'll start showing all the other games replay.
Well, and somebody, I think they do a red zone. It's like a free red zone tryout kind of thing.
Something like that.
For people to see if they want to get it for the regular season. So that should be going on tomorrow as well. But
I think there's 10 or 11 games tomorrow.
It's going to be fun, man. Let's flip around to a couple of training camps, some big storylines. We played this one for you earlier, but in case you missed it, I want to start in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, remember, he's still going through the contract stuff, and he actually had a thought on contracts I'll get to after we play this. But He was not too happy with his new crop of wide receivers.
It was one of the worst carded sessions we've had. I don't know how you can make it any simpler. You literally have what the play would be in our terminology on the card. And the effort level is very low, especially what I'm accustomed to having run that period for a number of years. So it's not a good start for us on the carded period for the young guys.
Yeah, that felt like a subliminal shot to me at management. I think he's still pissed that Jordy Nelson isn't around anymore. He wanted him back, and now he's kind of dealing with the new crop of guys, not happy with their development. He was asked if he had like a magic wand to fix one contractual thing in the NFL, and he said the one thing he would fix, and I agree with this, is getting rid of the franchise tag. He said it allows franchises to have too much control. He said it can actually save teams money in the long run because you give away deals earlier. You don't have to pay that peak number to a guy maybe for 1 or 2 years. And that was his one wish. And I actually like that idea. I wish the NFL would do that, reward guys with longer-term contracts. So Aaron Rodgers not happy with his young group of wide receivers, hoping they all get on the same page. And that's a telling thing to say for a guy who usually preaches the relaxed vibe out of Green Bay. Let's go to another quarterback. That's kind of the theme of a lot of these different camps. You know, John Gruden in the news for all sorts of reasons. John Gruden is always in the news.
Putting the ball right there in the turkey hole.
You know, you got to put it in the turkey hole. I thought this was interesting. Derek Carr is pretty thankful for his new head coach.
Well, thank you for bringing someone in that, you know, believes in me, and it's absolutely amazing. You know, the way he demands from me, he gets after me just like he gets after everybody else. If I screw up, he lets me know it in front of everybody. And it just makes an openness about our team. You know, there's no secrets, man. If I screwed it up, yeah, I screwed it up, man. No problem. But at the same time, he's the same guy telling each and every one of his players. You'll catch him just after practice. If you just watch him, if he yelled at someone, he's going to go grab him. Man, I love you, man. And the reason I'm getting after you is because I see this and this in you. And so anybody who's played for him, anyone who knows him, they want to run through a brick wall for the guy.
How about that? People bashing my boy, Chucky. Derek Carr, happy he's there. He thanked ownership for bringing him in.
Yeah, you got to get your best players and your leaders on the field. And as long as that communication is like, listen, I'm going to ride you. You know, we heard about it with Pop back with the Spurs, mm-hmm. with Tim Duncan and David Robinson, and say, listen, if the rest of the team sees I can ride you in practice, then they'll fall in line. If you're getting special treatment and kid gloves because you're the franchise and you've got the $180 million contract and I'm not taking shots at you, yep. then they're not going to respond when I got to ride them.
Yep, so the Khalil Mack thing, that's a whole other issue, but at least his quarterback is on board with what he's doing. There's Derek Carr, thankful for his new coach down in Oakland. Big season for them, big season for Derek Carr, too, just to bounce back. He's got something to prove after signing that big contract 2 years ago. Let's go to Philly. We're all wondering who's their quarterback going to be because Carson Wentz a little banged up. Now Nick Foles is banged up.
Got a whole lot of Nate Sudfeld.
Is it either third string, Nate Sudfeld, some hot Sudfeld action? Well, Carson Wentz gave an update on his injury progress.
We'll see. We'll see. Obviously, I'm staying by what my goal has always been, and just got to listen to what the doctors are saying. Yeah, I mean, obviously, anytime you go out there, get your feet wet, you've been waiting for a while to finally get out there and you do it. I mean, it felt great. I thought I reacted great. My body felt good. Just really mentally, I felt great just being out there and then trying to scale it back. I mean, it's not what you want, but it's part of the plan right now.
What week do we see him playing? What do you think? What week if you had to ballpark him?
Somewhere 3 or 4.
I think 3 or 4. You think they're safe and cautious with him? That's my only concern. I don't think they will because – and Nick Foles is going to be okay, it sounds like. That's not a serious injury concern, at least for the start of the regular season.
No, there's nothing structural. It's just they said a little muscle spasm up in his neck, and that's – nobody believes that's anything to be concerned about.
Right, so I'm hoping they're cautious with it. I'm with you. Give him until week 3 or week 4, and that's what – I mean – well, seeing how he bounces back from the injury. Remember, that guy's the MVP of the league last year. He's overshadowed because they won the Super Bowl without him.
But. Yeah, you open with the Falcons on, Thursday night. Then you're at the Buccaneers, taking on the Colts at the Titans. So maybe right there, October 7th against the Vikings at home.
There you go. It's a big game.
I can see where Wentz. The tricky part becomes if Foles comes out and dazzles.
Yeah, what do you do?
I mean, if he comes out and he's throwing for 340 yards and completing 68%, and he's got a 3 or 4 to 1 TD to interception ratio, and the team's
3-0.
Putting up 35 points a game.
Controversy.
Then, if you're Doug Peterson, what do you do?
That's tough. That's a tough situation to deal with. You just change it up completely? You go away from the hot hand? You trade him at that point?
I don't know. He won you the Super Bowl.
Hey, I've been bringing that up since last year in the play. People laughed at me when I first started talking about that. So, he won the first Super Bowl in the history of that franchise.
Yep. That's the biggest dilemma. If he's okay, I mean, if he stinks, then he could be in there sooner. If he's just okay.
Right.
You know, if they're just okay, let's say.
I don't expect Foles to be just this dominant quarterback again, but yeah. I could be wrong. I said that last year in the postseason.
Let's say they're 3-1.
Sure, he's playing
they're
okay.
They're not blowing people out, yeah. And the offense is putting up, you know, 24 points a game. Then, yeah, Wentz is back. Here we go.
Yeah.
But if they come out and they are blowing people out and the offense is running roughshod, Wentz may sit longer than you might think.
Hold him out till week 8. We're okay. We don't need to rush him back. A couple more quick ones I want to get to before we go here. Let's go to Indianapolis as Andrew Luck, all eyes on him, especially in that division. We know how good he is when he's healthy. Here's Luck talking about his progress.
There was a time or two where I thought I would not play football again, and I didn't think it was worth playing again. And I'm so glad to have worked through that. I've received a lot of help, you know, teammates, friends, family, fresh help, and also talking to some of my contemporaries and about things that they've gone through, and them sharing and opening up, about themselves was also very helpful. I never thought I'd have this much fun playing football again.
How about that? He admits he thought about walking away. Thought about, is it worth it anymore?
Sometimes he's a little too Stanford.
Yeah, and too much of a philosophical thinker. I mean, you do feel
not
for him.
To say those. I mean, just sometimes, yeah, he's too willing to engage
right.
in the entire story.
I like the honesty, though,
and we
you
all
know
appreciate
he
it. But I think sometimes it's like you gotta, you know, there's some stuff that not everybody needs to know.
Yeah, he thought about walking away. He missed about a year and a half. He hasn't played a game in a long time, but it sounds like all things pointing towards him playing. One last note out of the NFL training camp: Seahawks, as we're mentioning, they play their first preseason game tomorrow, and you can hear it right here on The Fan. I thought this was a telling quote. So Doug Baldwin, remember, we had him on the show when we went up there, and he was pretty pessimistic about everything. He was didn't sound too happy about the direction things were going. Well, he had a more optimistic quote. He gave this to Michael Duggar of The Athletic, and they were talking about Russell Wilson, the offense, kind of the way things are looking, and he said, the biggest thing, I think, is Russell's better. So this is the best I've ever seen him since he's been here. I'm really excited and happy for his progress. Because obviously that makes us better. It makes it easier on us. And he gave a lot of credit to Brian Schottenheimer. He said he's being drilled on how to dissect opposing defenses. He said it's going to benefit the entire offense, including the offensive line, which has not played well in recent years. So Doug Baldwin, been a little pessimistic so far in training camp. He told us he's mentally prepared for a down year. Now he's saying Russell Wilson looks the best he's ever looked. And there's an encouraging note. I haven't been a ton of them for Seahawks fans, but there's an encouraging note for you heading into tomorrow's training, or preseason, I should say, debut. Hey, lots to get to in the second hour of the show. NCAA coming out with new rules for college basketball players. They already had to make an amendment. We'll get to that, but I do like the rule. It's a step in the right direction. We have some fun with audio to play for you. A Braves broadcaster again puts his foot in his mouth, and we have Darren Revelle acting. That happened. That's a thing.
Brilliant.
We'll play that. A Q&A with the Portland Diamond Project. I thought there were some highlights to get to. We'll see if we have time in the second hour for Felix Hernandez, because that got bumped here. But let's start with the NBA schedule release. And a question for you. I want to see where you're at on this one. 55305 is a better you today text line. If you had to place a bet right now, money line on the opening night game, so not spread, just straight up winner, Lakers and Blazers, who you taking? 55305. Because I already placed a bet, and we'll give you the rest of the scheduled tidbits in the second hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.